And that way you don't have to worry about it anymore. Sounds pretty good, don't it, Brother Rick? I'm up front. They said they didn't care. We have things that we like, and we like to protect them. How many has locks on your doors? How many uses them? Now, there was a time, was there not, Pastor, where you didn't lock your door very often? Yeah, I can't remember, you know. But now, anytime I go over to Mom and Dad's house, well, grab the door, it's locked. Oh, and they got a son-in-law. Now, I cannot stand if I go out a door, I turn around and go back in, and it got locked. But we put locks on the doors in order to protect the content that is inside. Now, how many here has ever locked your keys in your car or truck before? Oh, Lord, bless your hearts. Bless your hearts. How many's done it more than once? Man, you should have learned the first time. You're protecting your investment. All right, see, now I've got everybody thinking about, you know, did I lock my keys? Where's my keys at? Brother Rick, where are they at? Are they in the truck? Are they? There's locks on vehicles in order to protect the contents. Now, I'm giving this going down. This isn't a rabbit trail, just to let you know. This is a well-beaten path that's in the message. But I want to get all y'all's attention. Get all this out of the way so whenever I start preaching here in just a minute, you guys can buckle in, get ready to hit these altars. That's the whole purpose of the service tonight. It's not about coming to hear the worship. In the end, it's not. It's not about coming and being able to visit with one another. It's about us coming and communing with God. Amen. How many of y'all brought your Bibles tonight? Praise the Lord. Revival has happened, Pastor. 2 Kings chapter number 20. I'm going to read, usually I don't read this much scripture in my opening text, but I'll be quick. Man, I'm running out of space up here, Pastor. I'm going to have to make some room. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse number 1. If you have it, shout amen. Praise the Lord, you're awake. In those days was Hezekiah sick. Who knows who Hezekiah was? All right, there's a few of us that do. How many of us read our Bibles like we're supposed to? That's what I thought. Do you know what happened to Hezekiah before we find out through the scripture? How many knows what happened to Hezekiah? Okay, so there's a few of us. I want to make sure we're going the right direction here. So some of you never heard it before, so I'm going to give you a first-time lesson here. Amen. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Leave it right there, Brother Tim, or whoever's running the media, for just a second. What if that message came to you tonight? How long would it take for you to have everything in order? I want you to grab a hold of this. This is what he was faced with. He knew the prophet was coming. He's hoping the prophet's bringing good news. How many likes it when the preacher gets behind the pulpit and tells you nothing but good news? Amen. Well, we're going to start with a little touch of bad news here. What if? You know, you ever heard there's an audio series out there that was "What If?" What if this history event was changed just a little bit, and this history event was changed a little bit? What would the outcome be? What would happen if tonight you was given the opportunity to set everything right that was wrong? How many of us would do it if it meant making heaven? Now listen, we are in charge of winning our house. How many has lost loved ones? Okay, who's them loved ones belong to? If they're in your house, and they're of your family, that means they're yours. So grab a hold of all this here. Second verse, and I'm going to read real quick through the rest of this. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee. Oh, church, if we could just grab a hold of this, please come to the altar right now and just come pray with me. How many would come and beseech the Lord? Brother Jason would just sit down and be quiet. And turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. We like coming to the altar. We like coming and praying and saying, Jesus, help me. But how many of us are willing to break? In revival, I've seen some folks break. Now, church, it's important that God does those things in our hearts and our lives. But don't lose sight of it. And verse number four, and it came to pass, as for Isaiah was gone out into the middle of the court, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Turn again, tell Hezekiah, king and captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Wow! It went from just being about his life to being about the whole nation. Now let me tell you something. What God begins to do in our lives, in a revival, or in services that we have time and time again in this church, isn't just something that's for you and just for your house, but it might just be for the very city or maybe the very state that you reside, if we will begin to take value and inventory of what God is doing. Hezekiah went in and declared himself to God, who he was, and the tears that he laid before him. We find that Isaiah turned, went back in, and he told him, and Hezekiah, we'll skip down to verse number 8. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord in the third day? And Isaiah said, This sign thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backwards 10 degrees. So what he began to say is, let me see, God has already promised me the impossible. Grab a hold of this, church. He's already given us a blessing. But instead of just accepting that blessing, let me go ahead and see the sign. Let me tell you, it was already said here tonight that there will be signs that follow them. He said, let me see the impossible sign. Let me see the sun go back. Amen. Let us see it go back 10 degrees. And we find that Isaiah, the prophet, cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards. He sat there in front of the sundial and said, I'm ready to see the hand of God work. I'm here to tell you tonight in Calvary Lighthouse Church, how many came expecting to see the mighty acts of God to be wrought by the prophet's hand. I'm here to tell you, if we put in the time, we put in a week and a half of service after service, seeing God do great things. But I say here tonight, let it not just be for one individual, but let it be for the whole body. Stand up and say, Lord, I have come to declare thy works and to see your promise fulfilled. Lord, we thank you for your power. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you'd anoint my mind. Lord, anoint my lips. I pray that you begin to anoint these altars. Lord, I pray that you would draw us, change us, and challenge us here in this service tonight. Bless your people in your holy name. And the church said, praise the Lord. we find that a great thing took place. Brother Jason, how many times on a job would we wish for just 10 more minutes of daylight? He didn't get 10 minutes. He got 10 degrees. That's quite a bit of time. But sometimes we are unwilling to put ourselves on the line. But we find that Hezekiah was willing to put himself there. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to read some more of these verses here. I just don't want to keep you standing all night because it's easy to do. It's like the whole church is back and you're preaching. It's exciting. So in any given time you feel like standing, go ahead. It just helps me out. Even though you're just wishing me I'd hurry up and shut up, it just might help. You never know. I want to ask you guys a question as a congregation. And I love participation. I love for when I get interaction. So if you please do me this favor. And if you've received any of these things, just raise your hand. If you received more than one, raise the other hand. And if you received more than that, you know, go ahead and raise a foot. I might not be able to see it, but the one beside you might. Maybe it'll encourage them. They might think they're getting kicked. They might want to get up. How many of you enjoyed revival? All right, keep it up. Hey, I'm liking this. Don't let it down. How many of you received the touch from God? Hey, I'm liking this even more. How many of you received the infilling of the Holy Ghost? Hey, amen, Brother Tim. I see it back there. How many of you received a promise from the Lord? Hey, you know what that means? You got something that's worth protecting. Amen. I wanna give this message to you. I feel this from the Lord as I was, amen, praying this afternoon. It just kept going over and over, Brother Jason, these questions. Lord, how am I gonna know? You just signed off on it right there. I want to preach to you tonight on a simple thought for just a little while on protecting your breakthrough. Now, we have in this great country the privilege to protect what we own. Now, I wanted to bring some things, Brother Jason, but I knew it would be censored. Pastor, I knew they might not appreciate my arsenal on display. But there are things that I own, Brother Mike, that have one purpose, and that is to protect what is mine. You know, I have this one really cool thing. It's on my phone's back there. I'd show it to y'all. I've got a security system. You know, Brother Mike, I can arm that whether I'm here, there, or right in front of the panel. Because I have that because I want to protect what is mine. This king was given a great breakthrough. And he had an obligation. He had walked in all of God's precepts. He had experienced the revival, so to speak. His life had been extended, not by one day, but by 15 years. God, in this revival, as different hands went up, received something from God. Now you have an obligation and you have a duty. And you've got to protect your breakthrough. Because here tonight, if you discredit it, you'll leave it outside. London has a playhouse, treehouse, whatever that thing's called out there. Fort. She has a fort. Got a slide on it. And I remember as she's had different toys that was valuable to her, that she would want to take out and play with in the fort. Sister Janet, I remember specifically on a spring day this year that I was mowing the grass, the few times I mowed it this year, because I've been so busy. I seen something up in the fort, and I knew it was valuable to my daughter. So Sister Cindy, I went and I grabbed it. I carried it in there, and it was runt because it had rained. Not one day. Not 2 days. But it was that set of rain that was like for 5 or 6 days in a row. And it takes batteries. And it was electronic. It had electronics in it and stuff. And it was all rut. And I remember giving it to London, and she was so sad. I told her, I said, sis, you've got to protect the things that are valuable to you. You don't leave the things that are valuable to you laying outside. I'm telling us this story because I want us to get a mental picture of this, of what Hezekiah had just received. He had received a great gift, a great breakthrough. And we find in verse number 12, at that time, Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, go and give me the award after service, sent letters and presents unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Now, man, it's nothing like when you get a victory, you're on fire for God, and all of a sudden, come here, Isaac, hurry. Hurry. I seen you run faster than that after a candy bar. Come on now. And all of a sudden, your enemy, your old enemy, comes up and starts saying, here, you got anything to give me? Come on, give me something. There we go. Oh, is that it? You got anything else? Any other good gifts? How about that Apple Watch? That'd be nice. All right. Anything else? That belt looks pretty nice. How about them shoes? You got holes in your socks? I take that left shoe there. Yeah, left shoe there. Pretty nice. Anybody want to do a sniff test on this real quick? Isaac, my enemy, came up and gave me some gifts. That sock looks pretty good down there. Bring you some. Here you go. Bring you some gifts. You timing me tonight? How long have I been going? Okay. Brings you all these gifts to get up close to you. Because I got something that he wants. I've been blessed by God. Your enemy, Satan, wants to taint your gift. He wants to taint your breakthrough that you received in revival. Now listen to me, church. On the heels of victory, there is always a temptation. On the heels of deliverance, there is always an enemy that's wanting to sow tares amongst the good things that God has blessed you with. Because Brother Isaac had no idea that I kind of wouldn't mind having an Apple Watch. You know, that's pretty cool, man. I like that. It's kind of cool, man. I could look and see what time it is. I could see who's calling. You know, I think I might just keep that, you know. And then next thing you know, he's like, well, I got an iPhone that goes with that. Just keep getting closer and closer. Thank you, buddy. And next thing you know, we've left everything valuable that God has given us. We've just given access. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I want to draw your attention in here. What was being done? And he presented gifts, and Hezekiah hearkened unto them, which means he accepted them. You know, the kings had an opportunity to refuse. You know, when the enemy of your soul comes and says, hey, psst, psst, hey, you know, revival was great, but remember this pleasure that's so satisfying to the flesh. Just, Brother Robert, just for a moment, go ahead and click on that app one more time. Just for a moment, text that person back. Just for a moment, go without reading your Bible. Just for a moment, just keep talking in church, Brother Grant. Just for a moment. Brother Tim, fall asleep in the sound booth. He's not doing that, but I'm just picking on him. Just for a moment. Brother Terry, don't come to church. But just, you live right next to the church. You'll probably hear us when we get wound and tied in here. We get going. What we find is we hearken to that. And when we give in, and we invite them in, we say, hey, those gifts are nice. Then Hezekiah showed them all the house of His precious things. The silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointments. Oh, grab a hold of this right here. And all the house of His armor. And all that was found in His treasures. There was nothing in His house nor in His dominion. Grab a hold of that. Or in His dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Protecting your breakthrough. Now I asked you, what has God done for you in this revival? I'm here to tell you that you have a job to do. It's not just simply a job that I can do or Brother Jason or Pastor can do, but it's something that we've got to begin to prepare ourselves, not show the army of the enemy what we've got in our armory, but instead be willing to stand fast and reject the gifts of the enemy. What does Babylon represent? Do I have anybody that knows? Does anybody know what Babylon represents? No. Flesh. Had all the things, Brother Jason. Babylon had everything to offer. Everything that would feed flesh. Available. We know Egypt is a depiction of the world. Babylon, flesh. The flesh is the very thing that wants to sneak back in. Because we find, and this scripture was referenced this morning, is in Pastor's preaching this morning, is that I've got to die daily. Maybe it was in Sunday school, one of the two. It all kind of ran together there for me this morning. But one, we've got to put ourselves upon the cross and allow the flesh man to die. If we keep him alive, sometimes we want to keep trophies. Oh, I'm just going to barely keep it alive so I can show that I've got it in a cage and I've conquered it. But let me tell you, there's going to come a point in time that thing in the cage is going to be able to talk you into letting them out because they're too weak. I'm just too weak. I just can't make it in this cage. Next thing you know, we're the ones that's placed in the cage. We've got to protect our breakthrough. What we find here is that the prophet Isaiah came back to Hezekiah and he told him. He said, hey, who have you had at the house? Let me tell you, when this temple, amen, gets defiled, God Almighty comes back and He sees that the door has been tainted. He sees that the blood has not been placed there fresh. He sees that there's been some things that we've let go of. He sees that all of a sudden our breakthrough is sitting out by the trash because it's no longer important. I'm here to tell you tonight that we got to protect it. We can't let the enemy come in, but we've got to begin to rebuild the wall. Any gift that is sent should be burnt for an offering before God. Say, this is not mine, that I am not worthy. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight that we've got a job to do. Isaiah asked him, he said, King, I'm just going to paraphrase, go through this real quick. What'd you show him? He said, oh, got any braggers in the house? I hear you chuckling. I know who you are. What we do, Pastor? Oh, you better believe I showed him everything. Showed him, look what I've got. Look what I've done, Sister Shelley. I was in revival. I was here every night. I got filled with the Holy Ghost, refilled with the Holy Ghost. Got healed in my body. Look what I did. No. Isaiah said, you shouldn't have done that. Amen. I stand before you here tonight and tell you, congregation, prepare your armament, prepare your shield. Amen. Because you be prepared, because the enemy is looking to break through your breakthrough. I'm here to tell you tonight that God Almighty wants to strengthen you, wants to prepare you for the battle that's ahead. But we've got to realize that we've got an adversary. Isaiah told him, after he said, I showed him everything. Isaiah told him, he said, hear the word of the Lord, verse 16. Behold, the days come that all that is thy house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day. Brother Jason, everything that your dad has laid up for a spiritual reward, the stones that he's placed, the barrier that he's begun to put in place, and the spiritual victories he's shown you how to win, you can't protect it. The work that your father has worked for will turn to a heap. I'm doing this because there's three generations. Titus, if you don't stand your ground and you let the enemy come in where you've just had a breakthrough, your father's victory and your father's father, your grandfather's victory will be counted as a heap because it's not valued. This is going to be the quiet part of the sermon, and that's okay. Church, if we don't protect it, it will be ransacked and it will be left as though it is worthless. Let me tell you something. I've got many things that I could bring in here and I could show you what it looks like whole, and I could strip it down to where it's nothing but pieces. And the moment I strip it down to where it's nothing but pieces, Brother Charles, it's worthless to that individual because they don't know how it goes back together. But when I reassemble it, Brother Jason, it becomes valuable. But let me tell you, when the enemy comes in and starts to dismantle the things that God has done in your life, he says, I'm going to take a piece of this and I'm going to put it over there. A piece of this and I'm going to bury it here. And I'm going to take this and I'm going to put it over here. It's all still in the house. But it's rendered worthless because you can only find one piece. What good is a charger for a cell phone if you ain't got the phone? What good's the phone without the charger? What good is a car without gas in it? Now, in the year models of the 80s year model vehicles, you know, you could take the battery and start it and pull the battery out and it'd run. He had a Ford pickup. Dad, if you're watching, sorry, mouth hitting right here, run a little short on funds, so he would get the truck and he'd start it, pull the battery out and put it in the minivan so he could drive the truck. Just don't shut it off. Love you, Dad. I can remember that. I was probably 6 or 7 years old. Out there in the shed, Dad, drive the van over, take the battery out, put it in the truck, start the truck, take the battery out, put it back in the van so we could get to where we needed to go with both vehicles. It's no good, though. You ain't got something when it dies. Now we find, as Isaiah come to him and said, it's all going to be carried away into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. And they shall be eunuchs in the place, in the palace of the king of Babylon. And Hezekiah, this breaks my heart. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my heart? Holy Ghost, help me right here while I preach for just a minute. We are going to take, Brother Jason, Pastor, the victories that we got, put them on display, bring the enemy in, and say, I know that it's going to cost my grandson, or it's going to cost my son something, but it's okay, Brother Charles, because in my day, I can live under grace. It's okay. Holy Ghost, help me, honey. You better pray. It's okay if I set my child in front of this movie that I might be mature enough to understand, but they are not. I know I'm losing you left and right. There are some things that is unfit in the house of a parent. I'm going to say that again. There are some things that are unfit that you as a parent or grandparent should never, ever betray in front of your grandchildren or children. Oh, well, they're 18. They can make their own decisions. I'm sorry. Lord, help me. But if they reside in your house, they are your responsibility. It is your responsibility to make sure they're here at 5:30 for prayer meeting. It is your responsibility. It's quiet and it's okay that they're here whenever we've got something going on in the church. Show the importance. What you value, they will treasure. I'm going to say that again for those in the back. No offense, Brother Charles. Just a statement. What you value, it will cause them to treasure. If you don't value this place, they won't value it. Pastor, I so appreciate what you said this morning in service. You said, you know, them seats are comfortable and it's okay to pray, but the real help is right here. Come here, Titus. Lay up here. Anybody got a match? Lay up here. When we come and place ourselves, I'm glad this thing was empty. It's just... We prepare a sacrifice. Now, it's been a lot easier to just set that box on him. I didn't have my knife. Good thing. Preparing a sacrifice. Saying, Lord, I'm willing to come and I'm willing to do the work because I'm not going to let the enemy come in and take what I've placed for an offering for the Holy Ghost. But so many times we say it's not important and we portray it in front of our children, or maybe it's a new convert that comes in. But if we're not careful, we will cause division and destruction, which ends in dismemberment of the body of Christ. Amen. I know I'm doing a little bit of teaching and not preaching at this moment, but I want us to grab a hold of this. Hezekiah said, it's good that my days are going to be fine, and it's okay that my children are going to pay the price. I'm here to tell you tonight that it is not okay that we offer up our children on the altar of this world, but instead we should show them the value and the importance of offering ourselves as a living sacrifice before God Almighty. Because when God does something for us, it should cause us to build an altar, not to destroy it. It should cause us to protect our breakthrough. It should cause us to begin to build the hedge of protection. It should cause us to begin to load our Holy Ghost gun and be prepared for warfare. Hallelujah. Thank you, sacrifice. Amen. Hallelujah. Protecting your breakthrough. On the heels of victory, church, beware of the gifts of the enemy. He will seek out your weakness. Say, how is that possible? Well, this is me being extremely transparent before I just go full bore here in just a second. You know, the enemy sought me out. guy's got long legs, he can move faster. Walk across there. He sought me out. He said, hey, what do you think? You ought to just go ahead and tell him that, and just, it'll be okay. But you know what I did? I thought about it. I got some good reasons to go ahead and call him that. Just being honest. But you know what I did instead? I said, Lord, I'm going to protect my breakthrough. I showed him the shield, and I went on. You know what? Go ahead and come back around here. You know what? It wasn't too much longer, Pastor. He caught me again. Hey, you know, this right here is a pretty good reasoning. You know what I had to do? I had to show him the sword. You know, bring out the word of truth. And all of a sudden, he had to flee because he was faced with the reality that I served a higher power. Sister Stacy had to realize that I was wearing an emblem and a symbol, that I was a child of the King. I was showing him that I had the force to protect my breakthrough. What would happen here tonight if we would begin to stand our ground and say, I've come in the name of the Lord, and he is my protector. He is my weapon. He is my warfare. Hebrews says in the chapter of faith, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Man, these was the men and women of faith. How many of you got a faith boost in revival? Amen. Amen. If you've been given that faith lift and that boost, that shake, that shifting that Brother Joe preached about, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Look at who's got a soft spot. Look at who's showing a little bit of flesh, saying, I want to grab a hold of them and cause their attention to turn from their breakthrough and look at their weakness. Amen. I find in the scripture, amen, when I am weak, he makes me strong. Hallelujah. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. First thing we got to do is take the whole armor of God. I got to get down here where I can preach to you. We got to grab a hold and having our loins girt about with truth. How many of y'all grabbed the armor out this morning, put a little oil on it, slipped into it, and said, I'm ready to fight? Don't want no rust on that armor. I'm not talking about you, Buzz. I'm teasing. And having the breastplate of righteousness. How many of y'all put some shoes on? Amen. How many of y'all got your shoes, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And praying always, and all supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. I put all this on so that I can stand before the congregation and say, listen, it's time to pick up your sword. It's time that you pick up the shield. It's time that you guard yourself. It's time you put on that breastplate. It's time that you get ready for warfare. I'm here to tell you tonight that your opportunity to protect what is yours is now. Hallelujah. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, everybody shout this last part out. Who can be against us? I'm here to tell you tonight, Calvary Lighthouse Church, if we begin to put on the armor, we begin to protect our breakthrough. Who? What shall come against us? Because God Almighty is backing us with His mighty force. The Holy Ghost of God will be breathing down our neck, saying it's okay that you only got a sling and a stone, because I, God Almighty, am with you. It's okay that you're going down in a pit of lions, because God, I alone, has heard your cry. I'm here to tell you, you might be going through a fiery furnace, but I'm here to tell you, there's a fourth man in the fire saying you're not alone, because I am with you. Protect your breakthrough. How do we protect it? By arming ourselves. How do we arm ourselves? Putting on our shoes, Brother Mike. Saying, hey, I can walk a little better. Go ahead and grab up that sword, that shield, and that helmet. Put up that breastplate. Get ready for some warfare. Amen. I'm here to tell you, church, that we've got to make ourselves ready, because beware of the enemy's gifts. Amen. The Lord has shown forth and brought a great blessing to you, but protect it. Amen. For you and your children. Church, stand. Church, I've poured all that I've got and more out. Because Brother Mike, I'm willing to swing the sword for you. Brother Grant, I'm willing to swing the sword for you. Brother Robert, what I've been doing? Swinging that sword. You might feel like Brother Jason, sometimes the one thing we're defending is a field full of beans. Exactly right here, forgot that message. It's my field. This is my field. Pastor, come here. This is your field. Jason, come here. This is your field. No matter what comes in this field, I'm going to swing the sword for you. And you're going to swing the sword for me. Why? Because we see this field. Realize that some's white for harvest. We're not going to let the enemy come in and try to take your breakthrough. So when we're up here, Brother Sheldon, come here. Amen. When we're up here and we're declaring the gospel, come on, I'm just trying to obey the Holy Ghost. Brother Rick, this is your field. You know, your family is your field, but it's a field that I'm willing to fight for. It's a field these men are willing to fight for. Brother Tim, I know you're back there, but you're a minister in this church. When you're up here behind this sacred desk, you're protecting someone's breakthrough. realize, congregation, that these men, amen, are men that's willing to swing the sword, amen, for your breakthrough. Amen, Sister Sarah, when she's up leading worship, amen, she's swinging the sword for your breakthrough, trying to protect the harvest that God has promised. With Brother Robert's behind the pulpit, and he's swinging the sword of worship, he's protecting your breakthrough. When Sister Lindsay's up on the piano and singing and leading worship, Brother Mike, she's protecting your field, trying to send that enemy to flight because he has no place in your field, because we as a congregation will pick up the sword, put on our armor, and say, I will fight for you. Hallelujah. Come to this altar. Be encouraged. Be encouraged that there are men and women that's fighting the warfare. They're calling your name and swinging a sword, saying, this field belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah.